doing the whole 6010.
I always just imagine that, like, the way that song is, I just always imagine us, like, at a huge crowd, you know, and, of course, everyone in plastic bubbles.
I was going to say.
Right.
Yes.
But a huge crowd and, you know, just, and, like, just doing one of these things.
I think you're right.
Like, in the whole crowd waving back and forth.
Yeah.
The good old days.
Holding their lighters up.
Simpler times. Remember those times?
I remember shows.
Right.
The fantasy focus.
They've got their Field Yates t-shirts on.
Yeah, Yater's going to Yate.
Yeah. Right.
They're still available. I think I might wear one later on this week.
Sounds keep like us posted.
Yeah, we'll do. You'll just see it because you'll be 6 feet away from me on this podcast. Good morning,
I
Matt.
Will.
How are you?
Good. I'm fine, thank you. I'm just curious, Field Yates. Mm. I detect a tinge of jealousy in your voice.
In what regard?
Well, I don't know if you remember, but you know, Haley Burns, our intrepid producer, challenged me at the beginning of this week. She says, like, you could grow hair. And I'm like, on my face, you know, obviously there's some areas where that ship has sailed, but this is just 2 days growth. I don't know if you can get a close up this is literally like, I mean, so we're Wednesday morning and I haven't shaved, you know, I took Haley's challenge to heart.
Right.
And so here you go. And so Field Yates, who is still waiting to hit puberty, like just looking there jealous at my unshaven manliness over here.
Well, hold on, though. Didn't he sort of defeat the premise there, Daniel, when he asked for a close-up?
Yes.
Like, Daniel could be in California right now, and we could see his beard from Bristol, Connecticut.
That's not 2 days. This is 2 days. I could absolutely have a Daniel-type bushy beard.
That's not accurate. I have also not shaved in 2 days, Matthew Berry.
Stop it. But
How long have you? That's a Matthew Berry argument right there.
When was the last time you shaved? Your beard.
I shaved April 11th, 2012.
That
was the day
of life event?
That was the day before I left the Air Force. I was honorably discharged.
Yeah, there
the
you
United
go.
States Air Force.
But no, you, thank you for your service.
I subsequently trim on occasion.
I'll trim it on occasion, but I haven't shaved like down to my skin since that day.
I actually went through like a 5-year period where I did not Stop. Also shave. I mean, I'm being serious here.
Right.
I just used
it was
one of those,
5 years from prior to from this day.
Past 5 years. Football? Is this like once we start to get really uncomfortable, we start talking about football, right? Shall
let's
we?
Talk football. Yes, sir.
Big show today. That's We've fun. Got both the Jaguars and the Titans on Double Trouble, but as we did yesterday, we're going to crank it up once again for a little bit of news or noise.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Read all about it.
News or noise?
Loud noises!
I think it's important to note here that just like the many players on her fantasy teams, once again, the camera at the Chateau de Cône has fallen to the curse of Stefania Bell.
Ooh.
Is from what I understand. A lot of people are like, where's Stefania? Where's Stefania? Because Stefania is always top of the show. She's always part of News or Noise. And we have no Stefania Bell. And I believe that is because there's some technical difficulties getting into the Chateau de Cône. So once again, like, I don't know, maybe Rico,
Hold on, are you buying it?
Buying what?
Is it news or noise that Stefania can't come on the show because of technical difficulties?
Like, is she having like a spa day at the house?
That's entirely possible.
Like, Stefania's actually getting a pedicure.
You know what? Leave it to Stefania to find a way to boondoggle from home.
Of course.
We all talk her up like she's working so hard and she's just getting. Yeah.
No. I mean, like.
Definitely not watching.
Right. She can't you know, because of travel restrictions and everything with COVID-19.
Yeah.
She's had to restrict her boondoggling to her house.
When you can't go to the Amalfi Coast, you bring the Amalfi Coast
That's
to
exactly
the Chateau
right.
de Cône.
That's so exactly sure right. Whenever we get a camera up in there, I bet you'll see like a lot of sand and a beach chair and you know, somebody bringing her drinks.
Fresh pasta overnight. I guess that wouldn't be fresh anymore, but you know my point.
Yes.
Cool stuff. It's Stefania's house. Daniel.
All right.
Your turn.
What do we got?
We got some news or noise here, guys. I'm going to throw this one to Field. Nick Chubb is in the league's concussion protocol. Field, news or noise on this?
This is noise for me, and I don't want to mitigate the impact of a concussion. Now, it is right now, it is what, August 19th? The Browns play their first preseason game. Their first regular season game, September 13th. So we have nearly a month before the Browns are actually scheduled to play their first regular season game. It is noise for me in the sense that I don't think it's going to keep Nick Chubb out of week one or threaten his availability for that week. You can make the case that it's a little bit of noise news in the sense that just a reminder of how valuable Kareem Hunt is as an insurance running back and a player who has standalone value.
I agree with all that, although I would have categorized it as news because you have one of the top running backs in the NFL in the concussion protocol. We expect him to be back, but as Stefania would often say, it is a nonlinear injury. There's no timetable. Like, do we expect him back? Sure, but we don't know. I mean, like, there are concussions that last longer and longer and longer. And so while I think, given the amount of time it is until the first time that the Browns play a game, that it is unlikely, just given what we've seen for most players in terms of when they recover from concussions, there's not a non-zero chance that this keeps him out week one. That's all I would say.
Sure. We'll continue to monitor.
Yes. All right, next up, Matthew Berry. Damian Harris, quote, continues to stack good days together, courtesy of CLN's Evan Lazar. News or noise on this good news about Damian Harris?
I think this is noise. Look, he's an interesting name, to, especially given the current injury concerns around Sony Michel. But play it out. Even if Sony Michel is placed on the PUP list, you've got James White. You've got Rex Burkhead. You've got Lamar Miller, who they just signed. And oh, by the way, we all expect Cam Newton, the greatest rushing quarterback, especially on the goal line in NFL history, to be their starter. Like, so, you know, like, could Damian Harris, you know, have a more significant role than we think? Sure. Was he a talented rookie coming in college? Sure. But, you know, counting on a Bill Belichick running back for consistent fantasy value at a top 20 rate is a tough prospect, at least at this point in the process. I think it's more noise than anything else.
All right, Matthew, going to come back to this one, to you for this one. Josh Reynolds has been, quote, steady as the wide receiver 3 in L.A. News or noise?
I think it's noise. Look, do I expect Josh Reynolds to be the number 3 wide receiver when they do 3 wide receivers? Sure.
Sure.
But
yeah.
For our purposes, do we care? Like, to me, the 3 pass catchers you care about in Los Angeles are Robert Woods, my little Cooper Kupp, and Tyler Higbee.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, do I expect Josh Reynolds to have a better fantasy year, assuming health, than Van Jefferson? At this point, I do. I think Jefferson's an interesting dynasty pick. But I just don't know that offense supports 4 fantasy-relevant pass catchers. And the previous years, when it was Woods, Kupp, and Cooks, they were getting nothing from their tight ends. And I just think you look at what Gerald Everett did, and then Tyler Higbee, when Tyler Higbee came in, I'm saying Higbee over Everett. But one of their tight ends is going to have a much bigger role in the offense this year. So I don't think Josh Reynolds, who I like a lot, again, Giga Maggies, you know, I grew up in College Station. He's a Texas A&M Aggie. I think this is noise as far as fantasy is concerned.
All right, Field Yates. TJ Hockenson says he is still not 100% after dealing with that ankle injury last season. News or noise?
I think this will actually be the opposite of what Matthew would have said, but it's noise to me as well, Daniel. I always wonder on phrasing of these questions, right? So how it's presented to the player. Hey, TJ, would you characterize your ankle as 100%? Are you all the way back, given that, you know, at the end of the season you had a major injury and now we're 3 days into camp? Do you feel exactly like your normal self? If it's along those lines, he says, well, you know, I'm still not quite 100% yet. I would say, like, that's kind of what you'd expect a player to say, right? Especially on a team that, as we know, and I don't have a problem with this, the players are going to be characteristically buttoned up about getting into their details of their injury that much. I think it's noise. I'm not concerned about his availability for the beginning of the season. And although we did have a couple of injuries, the concussion of the ankle last year, Hockenson's a player that I think is built to last in the NFL. His college performance suggests that, and I really like the player as well.
You know what else the Lions are buttoned up on? Wins. They don't let those out a lot. Secret scroll. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying there?
Wow,
the weight of that comment coming from a Washington fan is just real heavy.
There were two teams that picked ahead of the Lions this past year. One of them was the Bengals, and one of them was the Washington football team.
Yeah, the Washington professional football team. Hail to the Washington professional football team.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. Anything Hail victory.
Daniel? All right, last one.
All I know is we have 3 Super Bowl rings.
Well.
How many do the Lions have? Yeah, just saying.
News or noise?
Not a lot of teams we can talk
That's
trash
news.
To.
Last one. Yeah, last one here, Matthew Berry.
Yes, sir.
Bryan Edwards, yeah. 3rd-round rookie for the Las Vegas Raiders, currently running with the ones. News or noise?
Yeah, getting a lot of buzz, but I'm going to say noise here as well. Look, to me, this is more of a concern for Henry Ruggs than it is pro Bryan Edwards. Edwards, I think, again, is a name that you need to know. I could easily see him being a hot waiver pickup at some point in the season. He's obviously a dynasty target. But look, they have Hunter Renfrow. They have Darren Waller, the baller. They have Tyrell Williams. They weirdly have a lot of pass-catching options on an offense that I don't know is going to be that pass-heavy. Like, I still think Josh Jacobs is going to be what that offense runs through Josh Jacobs, so to speak. And so, you know, like, again, it's great to see that he's you know, that he's getting some buzz here. But to me, this is more of a concern about people that are going all in on Henry Ruggs than it is Bryan Edwards is somebody that you need to target in drafts, except in the deepest of leagues or dynasty leagues.
Okay.
Disagree with any of that?
No, I'm good with you there. I mean, he's a player that was underdrafted because of a pre-draft injury concern. Really talented guy. I mean, just look at South Carolina. He was a baller for them. But I'm with you. There are a lot of players in front of him or alongside him for an offense that I think Derek Carr can throw for 4,000 yards, but not a whole bunch more than that. And 4,000 yards with a lot of weapons is not necessarily enough to make a guy a standout fantasy player at this juncture of the preseason.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com today or just stop by.
Okay, well, we have a really important thing here coming up because we actually do now have connection to Stefania Bell. Star Fania Bell. And look at this boondoggler.
Oh, my
She's
God.
Got her sunglasses on.
Go on.
Stefania, how many UV rays you got there?
You should be holding a glass of wine, Stefania.
She might be. Are you?
You just can't see it.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Fair enough. It's underneath. Nice.
Stefania, look at those glasses, by the way. Those are impressive.
Fantastic.
I know. Well, you know, they're apropos, right?
They are apropos.
Do you have any information on TJ Hockenson you want to add to the context? I didn't say a whole lot of, like, breaking news earlier, so maybe you have more useful context.
No, Field, I thought you did a great job. It's actually interesting because I think the quote from TJ Hockenson got a little, it's like telephone, right? A lot of the times they get passed along, and by the time it made some of the other outlets, it sounds like it had changed a little bit. He actually was talking about his ankle injury, which of course ended his season, put him on IR after week 12. But he said that he still notices it, and then he quickly added, but I'm getting there, I'm 100%. So I think in his mind, this is me projecting, but the way I interpreted his words, I went back and looked at it over and over, is that a lot of times when you have an injury that lingers, and remember back in June, Daryl Bevel said that even though Hockenson was running routes, he was still not sensing the explosiveness that he had before the injury. So I think it's one of those things where sometimes you're still aware of the body part that you injured, but you're fully functional and you're pushing through it. I think that's what he was trying to convey. That's my interpretation.
So I was trying to say that earlier, and I hope I did a decent job, but Stefania did a much better job of describing it. Thank you, Stefania. We're coming back to you very shortly on some other pertinent injury updates. Stay cool and stay out of the sun.
Will do. Okay.
Let's talk about actually, before we do that, we have to play the sounder. So Daniel, will you please be so kind?
Double trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
All right, so let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars, which they don't have a ton of fantasy-relevant players, Matthew, but I think the ones that they do have are really interesting. And last year, Leonard Fournette was RB9 on a points-per-game basis, 17.29 points per game, a very admirable season for Leonard Fournette. And yet, if you look at his ADP right now, it's running back 17, which is actually where I have him, and Daniel has him at 15. But there are many in the industry, including yourself, that, and I don't want to make sure that you agree with this statement, that are sort of out on Leonard Fournette this season. So tell me why you're out on Leonard Fournette this season, and then I'll retort with where I kind of level set personally.
Fair enough. I want no part of Leonard Fournette. Okay. And you know who agrees with me? The Jaguars. Okay, so look, this is a guy that they drafted fourth overall. Like, they used a top five overall NFL draft pick on a running back. And yet this offseason, they declined to pick up Leonard Fournette's fifth-year option, which is a massive sort of nail in the playing career coffin of Leonard Fournette as a Jaguar, right? I mean, that is a, like, to not that's a major statement. When you do not pick up the fifth-year option of a player that's on your roster, but that you used a fifth-round, a top five NFL draft pick on.
Okay.
Do you disagree with that statement?
It was notable. I also thought it was practical. I thought it was the only decision they could make.
Understood. There were a lot of rumors, and I think they were credible. You're the NFL insider, so you tell me if you disagree with this. No, but there were a lot of rumors that Leonard Fournette was on the trading block and that they tried to get rid of him, and they found no takers.
Correct.
They found no takers. I think he's a prime candidate, especially as we enter a season where teams are dealing with COVID-19. I think he's a prime candidate to get traded should a contender need a running back at some point.
Okay.
So I am not convinced with 100% certainty that Leonard Fournette ends the year as a Jacksonville Jaguar. So I think there's a chance, and there's a couple different ways it could happen, but I think there's a chance he's no longer on the Jaguars where he would get this massive work share.
Okay.
So in addition to that, he is somebody that has had trouble staying on the field. He has not played all 16 games in his NFL career. He's never had a season where he's played all 16 games. He has missed time not only due to injury, but other things. Like, who misses a team photo field?
Leonard Fournette.
Right. Leonard Fournette missed a team photo and got suspended for a game. And the argument for Leonard Fournette is like, well, he got so unlucky with the touchdowns last year, which he did. He will absolutely have positive regressions for scoring. But to me, I think what people don't realize is that the majority of his fantasy value last year came from his receptions. He was massively used in the passing game. Okay. So this is somebody who last year had, I want to say, over 70 receptions. He was fourth in targets, second in 76. Yeah.
Over five a game.
Yep. Yeah. Now you think about what this Jacksonville Jaguar saw, but for his career, he had never done that before. And now you think about the Jags, who have added Chris Thompson, former Washington player who played under Jay Gruden, their new offense coordinator in Washington. Over the stretch that Chris Thompson was with Jay Gruden in Washington, he averaged over 7 fantasy points per game as just a pass catcher. You think about what Jay Gruden and their new quarterbacks coach Ben McAdoo have liked to do throughout their NFL career. They like to throw. They're going to throw. Okay? And so I just think you'll see, I think you will see a lot more Chris Thompson. I think you will see Gardner Minshew pushing the ball down the field. Remember, Leonard Fournette ranked 43rd out of 45 running backs, minimum 100 carries, in percentage of rushes that gained 5-plus yards.
Okay.
Leonard Fournette has a career yards per carry average under 4. He needs volume.
Okay.
He is not efficient at all. And I'm not convinced he gets the kind of volume he got last year.
All right, so Leonard Fournette got lucky and unlucky last season.
Right.
He got lucky in what you referred to with his pass catching. He had 76 catches last year. He had 58 catches through the first 21 games of his career.
Yep.
And of those 76 pass catching, his 76 receptions, his average depth of target was 0.05 yards, Matthew. As in, like, basically he caught every ball at the line of scrimmage or behind it or slightly ahead of it.
Exactly.
The point is that there was probably some pass receiving luck last year because they had nobody else to catch passes, which I'm accounting for because, as you noted, they did sign Chris Thompson. He also got unlucky. Leonard Fournette last year, in terms of players with 200 or more carries, he scored once every 88 rushing attempts. Every other player who had at least 200 rushing attempts scored once every 28 carries. He got unlucky. I really believe that some of that is bound to regress in his favor. And you mentioned that Leonard Fournette might not be a part of the Jaguars' plans. That's possible. But if he gets traded to a contender midseason, that only helps his value. But second of all, remember for this, he is not only, I mean, he is playing for his football life, Matthew. He's in a contract year now.
He is.
He needs to run really well, and I get it. He did not meet expectations of the fourth overall pick. He's been a disappointment by basically every metric except for the 1 year where they made it to the AFC Championship game. But this is still a guy that went fourth overall for a handful of reasons. He can be a more explosive back than we have seen, specifically last season, and the volume's going to be great. You mentioned Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson's not carrying the football, all right? He's just not.
I agree.
And besides that, who did they make an investment in as a runner this offseason?
Nobody.
Nobody. So I think the volume
is rebuilding,
which is why I've got Leonard Fournette at running back 17. You've got him at 24. And I wonder if there might be a board bet involved here.
Sure.
I think Leonard Fournette.
I am always happy to bet against Leonard Fournette.
Good. Let's do it.
What do you want?
I think Leonard Fournette will be a top 20 fantasy football running back this season.
I say Leonard Fournette will not be a top 20 fantasy football running back this season.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
Very happy to make that bet.
2-0 on board bets. Are you? So we can figure out. Do you want to do points per game, total points? How do you want to finish it?
I think it's points per games, half season played. All board bets should be, assuming
whatever the season is, half the NFL season is played, otherwise the board bet doesn't count.
Okay.
And I like points per game.
That's fine. I mean, part of my argument against Fournette is that I think he is injury prone. I think he will miss time.
Yeah, I'll take.
Let's say total points
instead. Yeah, let's do total points.
Fine, I'll take that. Points. I think he's going to play every game this year. All right, Leonard Fournette, yeah, interesting
good luck
player.
With that.
I do think, though, I will say this is that like I so part of like he's been discounted. I mean, RB9 to RB17. So if I'm someone who bypasses running back in the first round, maybe the second round as well, because that's where you're going to be drafting Leonard Fournette. Like, I think if he's my first running back, Matthew, I'm nervous. That part I will concede to you. I would much rather pair Leonard Fournette.
But when you take Leonard Fournette, think about who you're giving up, right? Think about quickly, Secret Scroll. Who are the running backs going right there in terms of ADP, right? Like, no, but he's going in the same range as Chris Carson, as David Johnson, who you and I both like a lot. I mean, among running backs, right? I mean, like, I don't know. I'd much rather have any of those guys. I'd even rather have Le'Veon Bell. Like, you know, crazy Le'Veon Bell, who's supposedly in the best shape of his career, like he says every year. But whatever. Like, the Jets improved their offensive line. Like, that's another guy that got unlucky last year that will get a massive work share. I think he's more talented running back than Leonard Fournette at this point of both of their careers.
Ooh, I don't know about running back. I don't know about that part. As a receiver, yes. I don't know about her as a runner.
No, that's part of the entire package, okay, is what I would say.
I think it's close. But to me, they're the same territory. So again, I would not love Leonard Fournette as my number one running back, but I'm okay with him if I'm pairing him with an elite guy and a very good wide receiver as well. So let's talk about DJ Chark then, because DJ Chark last year was awesome in his second season out of LSU. He finished as a top 20 wide receiver on a points per game basis. The ADP right now is wide receiver 27, exactly, specifically where Daniel has him ranked. You've got him at 24. I've got him at 29, Matthew. And
Why do you hate DJ Chark?
Is there more to DJ Chark in his ceiling than what we saw last year? And are there some factors really working in his favor this season with how bad the Jaguars could be? Because as of right now, Vegas has them with the lowest win projection total in the entire league. There was a time this offseason, and this may have been updated with some transactions. There was a time this offseason where they were the only team in the NFL to not be favored in a single game this year in the early Vegas lines. Zero games favored.
Right. And the win total, obviously, is courtesy of our friends at Caesars. But, yes, I believe so. Listen, that's among the reasons why I'm out on Fournette as well. I think this is a team that's going to be pass heavy. I think they're going to be pass heavy because that is what Jay Gruden and Ben McAdoo like to do. And I also think they're going to be pass heavy because I think their defense is going to be terrible. I think they're going to be trailing in a lot of games.
Okay.
Right? And so I think you sort of, again, think about how this team comes together. Gardner Minshew knows he's the guy. They get rid of Nick Foles, right? He's now in Chicago. Gardner Minshew comes into camp knowing he's the guy. Jay Gruden designing the offense for Gardner Minshew. Like, what does he do well? What does he not do well? Right? So they can put that together. So now he knows he's the guy. Chark had a 20% target share with Gardner Minshew. And you think about who else they have there. I mean, look, I like D.D. Westbrook. He's a nice little player, and we'll talk about LeVix in a second. But, like, D.J. Chark's going to be the guy. He's going to be the number one wide receiver, the number one pass catcher for this offense. And you think about Jay Gruden as an offense coordinator or a head coach. In five of Jay Gruden's past eight full seasons, we're not counting 2019 when he was fired five games in, he had at least one pass catcher score over 200 fantasy points. And in fact, over those eight seasons, six times did his top pass catcher finish the season as a starter in terms of total fantasy points.
Is this a top 25? Is that like an impressive thing to list? I'm serious.
Yeah.
Like, in five of his eight seasons, he had a pass catcher score over 200 fantasy. Is that, I'm asking, like, that's like super impressive?
I think when you think about the talent that he had in Washington, I do. Now, he had some players in Cincinnati, but he had some brutal players in Washington.
Like, it's like, that's like, what, 13, less? That's like less than 13 points a game. That's not that impressive.
That's top 20-ish. That's top 20-ish is what you're saying.
Interesting. Okay. It doesn't blow me away, but
I don't think it's a blow away stat. I think that's okay. So we know that there's going to be at least one very fantasy relevant starter here. Again, like, Cincinnati and Washington were bad offenses.
Yeah,
they were pass happy.
My faith in DJ Chark has a lot more to do with just the talent and the
100%.
Fact that they're gonna be a bad team than like Jay Gruden's history of like producing borderline fantasy good players. Anyways. I digress.
No, I think that's a fair point. I'm merely saying that, listen, I'm a Jay Gruden fan. When it comes to fantasy, when it comes to pass-happy offenses, I'm a Jay Gruden fan. And so if you're the number one pass catcher on a Jay Gruden offense, my expectation is that you're going to be a top 20 guy. You're going to be a top 20 guy. Again, DJ Chark's going as wide receiver 27. So I think he is a value. Okay. I think he is somebody that will outperform his current ADP. And among the reasons I'm saying that is because I think he's going to be the number one option in a Jay Gruden offense. I like Gardner Minshew as well.
And remember last year, we did have some preseason conversation about how Nick Foles and Dede Westbrook seemed to have a connection, right? That was one of the things that we saw when preseason games still existed back in 2019. Last year, if you go back and look at basically every major passing category with Gardner Minshew as the quarterback, DJ Chark did lead the way for the Jaguars. So I think I agree that there is the opportunity for him to be an even better player this year. The reason why I have him lower, Matthew, is much less a reflection of DJ Chark and much more a reflection of the fact that there are a ton of really talented and established wide receivers who have a chance to be the number one wide receiver in their offense, whether it's guys that we've seen do it for a long time or players like Terry McLaurin and A.J. Brown who are ranked ahead of him as well.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, so we've accepted this team is going to be very pass-friendly this year, Matthew, because we think they're going to be playing from behind. If I'm not mistaken, they actually led the NFL in snaps played last year while trailing. Maybe they were number two behind Miami. They weren't great last year. They threw it. They were number one, says Kyle. Thank you for that. So this team's going to be throwing the football a bunch, Matthew. We have conceded that. It'll be Chris Thompson. I think there'll be enough, but not as good volume for Leonard Fournette and DJ Chark. But how about the rest of the pass catchers? Is there anybody that tickles your fancy a little bit that could have sort of explode onto the fantasy scene?
You know what? Laviska Shenault is somebody that I think is pretty interesting, right? So, you know, just as a rookie here, you know, this is somebody who, you know, listen, had eight different games with over 100 receiving yards since 2018, which is tied for the most in the Pac-12. You know, wasn't on a particularly good team, but, you know, just in terms of, when you watch the tape, sort of jumps off the page. You're hearing lots of buzz about him out of Jaguars camp. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's anyone that I'm targeting in a non-dynasty league, but just that's an interesting name in terms of I've taken a couple of late round flyers on him in some best balls and some deeper leagues.
He fell to 42nd overall, a byproduct of not just the fact that there were a lot of great wide receivers in this year's draft class, but you mentioned some injuries. And Stefania, we're going to bring you right back because you know something about Laviska Shenault Jr., the once prime Colorado wide receiver. What do you know about him?
Yeah, he played through a lot of pain in his final college season with what was called inflammation of the pubic bone at the time. It basically considered a core muscle injury. And he really wanted to perform at the combine. So he went and he tried to run and his run was disappointing. I think he ran a 4.58 40 and expected to be much faster than that. Pretty shortly after the combine, he underwent that core muscle repair surgery. And by the time the draft rolled around, he was already working on football skills. So that particular injury, which I do think cost him a little bit in the draft, ultimately should be fine by the time they get him really active in training camp here. The problem is we're not going to be able to see him in live action without the preseason and just being a rookie. He'll be understandably a little bit slower to catch on. But if he gets that explosiveness back and they plan on using him as a versatile receiver, lining up in a lot of different places, then I think that he could really become something in fantasy, but probably not until the second half of the season.
All right, Stefania. So maybe a guy that, as Matthew said, great dynasty consideration and also a player that maybe makes the waiver wire later on in the year. Great insight, as always, from Stefania Bell. All right, let's go to the Tennessee Titans, a team that exploded in the second half.
You don't want to talk a little Minshew mania?
You want to talk about Minshew mania?
I love Minshew mania.
Okay, how much do you love
him? You were this guy for Halloween.
I was. He was. That's maybe my best Halloween costume ever.
It is.
Although
it is. When you added hair to your legs.
No, I didn't add. I'm just hairy. I'm sorry. You can't grow hair on your head. I can grow an atypical amount on my legs.
The way that Chapin pulled out her mascara and did it all over your blonde leg hair was so adorable.
Someone should look for that photo because it's ridiculous. Like your legs are so hairy. Your legs are like Daniel's beard. Like
it was hilarious.
It was a filter, wasn't it? Or no, well, it wasn't a filter.
I would just, like, you know, I just have hairy legs, and I got internet shamed, and I'm okay with it. Yeah. You know, it's all right.
Your legs are beautiful. Skin. Don't you let the internet tell you anything about your legs. You have beautiful legs.
I was hoping
legs.
People would notice my bulbous calves instead.
Right.
I decided to point out the fact that I have hairy legs. But you can't win them all, Daniel. So I'm going to Gardner Minshew for Halloween every year. Did you see Gardner Minshew shotgun the Gatorade can on practice field yesterday?
I didn't, but I believe it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Gardner Minshew has entered that. I think, did Bill Simmons used to call it the Mike Tyson zone, where there's any story that you could tell and you sort of believe it? Minshew has entered, I believe, the Tyson zone, where you're just like, if you tell me a Gardner Minshew story, I'm like, sure, okay, probably happened.
Totally. He'll be on Shark Tank one day.
He'll be on.
I don't know what he's pitching, but he's going to be on there.
100%. Anyway, I just think for two quarterback leagues, for deeper leagues, for people who want to back up, I think this is somebody that is undervalued. He's not being drafted in a lot of ESPN standard leagues, but he's one of my favorite, like, two quarterback league kind of guys or deeper league guys. Again, we just talk about this. You know, I talked about Jay Gruden earlier in the show. I'm a big believer in Jay Gruden. You think about Jay Gruden, right? From 2011, 2018. So not counting 2019, when he was fired five games in. He was the offense coordinator of the Bengals and then head coach of the Washington's team. Okay. So first year, Andy Dalton, it was his rookie year. Throw that out. From after that year, here's his quarterback finishes. 12th, 5th, 35th. That was the RG3 injury year where they had three different quarterbacks. 8th, 5th, 6th, and then 31st. That was the year that they had four different quarterbacks. Mark Sanchez and Josh Johnson, AAF superstar Josh Johnson, were among the starting quarterbacks for Washington. So my point is that other than Dalton's rookie year or the 2 years where he had multiple quarterbacks that were injured, he's had a top 12 fantasy quarterback for all the seasons that he's been an offense coordinator or a head coach for the entire season. Gardner Minshew had 16 or more fantasy points in 8 of 12 starts. He's more mobile than he gets credit for. He comes into this year knowing he's the guy, not just some rookie that they threw out there. Hey, find your way around. I think Minshew has a lot of upside. He is one of my favorite late round quarterback targets.
Agreed. Yeah, I think we all feel like there's just a squeeze at quarterbacks. I would love to rank Gardner Minshew in my top 15 for quarterbacks. I just think there are other players that either have more upside or a higher floor as well. Let's go to the Titans now. And Derrick Henry was RB4 last year on a points per game basis, 19.64 points per game. He got even better in the playoffs. He led the NFL in rushing yards last season. He led the NFL in yards per carry after first contact. Tremendous. Guy's an absolute stud. He earned a four-year, $50 million contract from the Tennessee Titans. Now,
he makes more than you do.
Yeah, he does. By like
almost $50 million.
Almost $50 million.
Right.
Led the NFL in carries. He had 20.2. So next closest was 18.8. All of these things are obvious to people.
He was a man among boys out there.
Horseback. Of all the backs in the NFL, he is the workhorse back. He is the piston for his offense more so than any other running back, as a runner is in the league. So there are two questions, Matthew. Is that one, is there any chance that his passing game volume goes up? Because if so, Matthew, then this sounds crazy, but if you thought there was a chance he could get 80 to 100 targets this year, there's a case for him as the number one player in fantasy football this year.
100%.
Now, the other question.
So, finishing as the number one running back in fantasy is absolutely within the range of outcomes for Derrick Henry this year. That's not within the range of outcomes for a lot of people.
Right.
That is within the range of outcomes for Derrick Henry. 100%.
I don't think he's going to get between 80 and 100 targets this year. So,
neither
that's
do
why
I.
we have him baked down a little bit further down the ratings. But I think this is where actually the conversation with Derrick Henry is really interesting, because we know what he needs to do to be like he was last year. Just get the football a ton, which you will. You don't pay a guy $50 million and then not use him. But I think that Derrick Henry is the first running back that comes into that conversation. So if we continue to preach the importance of drafting a running back early.
Yes, sir.
More so than every other year before this. Derrick Henry, I think, is kind of the Mendoza line for Michael Thomas. I think we have both said this, that we feel comfortable with Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, and Alvin Kamara in some order going to the top five picks, CMC1 and then the next four. I think it's sort of at that point where you have to sort of have the conversation. And it's, I think, three players, but for a while it was just two. Michael Thomas or Derrick Henry / Clyde Edwards-Helaire. How do you draw the distinction for you with, what if you have pick six, how are you making that decision?
So if I have pick six, I am going Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I have CEH, then I have Derrick Henry, then I have Michael Thomas.
Okay, so let's go.
So first off, I want a running back. Yep. I want a running back. I probably won't have a lot of Michael Thomas this year because I want a running back. I feel very confident in my ability to start a solid wide receiving core if I go running back or if I go running back, you know, tight end like with Kelce or Kittle. So there's that. And so
well, let's say we have pick seven then.
Okay. Pick seven, I'm going Derrick Henry.
Okay, but so then take us to the thought process.
Or Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm going whoever's
Edwards
left.
Edwards-Helaire is gone. So take us to the thought process of choosing Derrick Henry over Michael Thomas, other than the positional value. Is it simple as that?
It's because, again, both guys are going to get a massive amount of touches in their respective offenses. We expect both offenses to be good, but it is entirely about positional scarcity or depth.
Right.
Positional scarcity of workhorse backs and positional depth of elite wide receivers.
Gotcha.
So that's why. To me, I think the more interesting conversation is Derrick Henry versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I have CEH at 6, Derrick Henry at 7. You have them reversed. You have CEH at 7, you have Henry at 6.
Correct. Yep.
Here's my argument. Again, you have to nitpick.
Yep.
Right? So I'm with you. And that's within the range of outcomes for Derrick Henry, that if he does improve his passing game usage. And by the way, you look at the Titans roster. It's not like what we just talked about with Leonard Fournette, where there's an obvious guy to take away receptions in the passing game at the running back position, like Chris Thompson for Leonard Fournette. There really isn't anyone in Tennessee where you feel like, well, that guy's going to be on the field, right? Deion Lewis, obviously now with the New York Giants.
Yep.
Okay. So that's certainly within his range of outcomes. The concern, though, is touchdowns on Derrick Henry. When they get in close, are they giving it to Derrick Henry? Of course they are.
But or just throwing it, yeah.
Right. But here's the concern. 50%, like 49.7 of Derrick Henry's fantasy points last year mm-hmm. came from rushing touchdowns and the yardage on those scores.
Right. I'm good with that.
But that's a high number.
It is.
That's a very high number. And I'm not, like, if that goes to 40%, like, here's the other stat. He had 16 rushing touchdowns last year, right, Derrick Henry?
Yep.
Okay. LaDainian Tomlinson and Larry Johnson were the last two running backs to repeat 16 rushing touchdown seasons. Since they did it, a running back has rushed for 16 or more touchdowns 10 different times. In those 10 instances, the average drop-off per game was 47.5%. Over 16 games, that would result in Derrick Henry losing 7 to 8 rushing touchdowns. Now, I think that's excessive.
I know.
But I'm just saying, hang on, hear me out. Okay. I'm just saying if he goes from 16 to 12... He goes to 16 to 13. I have it running back 7, dude. Like, I'm in on Derrick Henry. I'm just saying, like, you're asking me, why do I have him slightly below Clyde Edwards-Helaire in a PPR, in a full PPR format? That's why. Because I do think there is a slight regression in rushing touchdowns for Derrick Henry. I'm concerned at how much of his fantasy points come from rushing touchdowns. And so if there's even the slightest bit of regression, that's enough for me to knock him slightly down. That's my argument.
If Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 6 rushing touchdowns this season, would you consider it satisfactory, like reasonable?
I expect him to have double-digit touchdowns, obviously. But if you're saying just rushing touchdowns, yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Sure. I think that's 6-7. Worst-case scenario for Derrick Henry. Like, if he craters, he's going to, like, 6 or 7, right? Yeah. That's how I break the tie, is that stat, to me, I think it's a little bit of a small sample size, and I'm not totally convinced it has great merit here. But what I will say is that I think he is the best pure runner in the NFL right now is Derrick Henry, and he is the player most likely to be able to sustain these rushing touchdown statistics year over year, especially behind that offensive line, and especially with no threat of anybody in the backfield stealing carries from him. I mean, the biggest goal line threat is like Dennis Kelly, who's an offensive tackle who caught 2 touchdowns last year.
Right.
So, I mean, that's how I break the tie, is I think he has got a better chance of repeating double-digit touchdowns than Clyde Edwards-Helaire doing it for the first time.
Yeah, he's just – the argument for CEH is, you know, you're in a Patrick Mahomes offense and you're going to catch a ton of balls. Like, it's entirely about the passing game usage, right? I mean, like, and just that we know all the stats about what a number one running back does in Andy Reid's offense. We've seen, like, what Damian Williams, who I don't think is nearly as good as CEH, should be. Though. No, Damian Williams is a good player. Like, CEH has a chance to be really special. It's the first time in Andy Reid's career as an NFL head coach that he's used a first-round pick on a running back.
So I guess you're breaking the tie, thinking there's a chance that some of Derrick Henry's touchdown dominance goes down. I'm breaking the tie by saying I think that Derrick Henry's touchdown propensity outweighs CEH's decided edge in rushing. It's also his touchdown propensity plus his rushing yards outweighs CEH's receiving yardage.
We like both players. I'm in on Derrick Henry, obviously, but yeah. And I also think, by the way, if you say which one of these guys has a better chance at being the number one running back in fantasy, I'm going CEH as part of the lead running back in Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes offense, than Derrick Henry in a Ryan Tannehill-led offense.
All right. Well, speaking of Ryan Tannehill, we're going to talk about him in just a second, Matt.
Yes,
he's a really interesting player, but first, talk about Ryan Tannehill as we're in the interest of keeping these unique pronunciations. I used to love when John Gruden would go, my guy Ryan Tannehill, when he would do the Monday Night Football games back in the day.
Feels like he was a Gruden grinder.
He probably was a Gruden grinder at some point. Right.
Speaking of Monday Night Football games.
Yes, sir.
Super excited about the new crew for Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that's right.
Levy, Lewis Riddick, and Brian
I was going to say, friend of the fantasy show, friend of Fantasy Football Now, Lou Riddick.
There you go. Yes.
Making his Monday Night Football in-game debut. But we love all of them and wish them tremendous luck and success. They'll be awesome.
Yeah, they will do a great job. We look forward to the first game of the season. They're doing the late game. Of course, Herbie and Chris Fowler have the early game on week one Monday Night Football. So, Matthew, I think people actually aren't, like, shouting, like, hey, why don't you have Ryan Tannehill ranked higher, despite the fact that he finished as quarterback 9 on a points-per-game basis last season.
Yeah, he was great.
He was unbelievable in 8 of his final 9 starts. He was a top-10 quarterback. I actually don't think people are that mad about you and I and Daniel all having him at, you have him at 19, I have him at 17, Daniel has him at 21. I think people all kind of get it, that, you know, the numbers suggest at some point Ryan Tannehill was going to level off. But let's dig into those numbers, Matthew, because is it possible that Ryan Tannehill will just keep on motoring and remain a fantasy football starter and that we are counting him out too soon?
Entirely possible.
Okay.
But I'll tell you who thinks that. The Tennessee Titans.
Paid him all sorts of money.
All sorts of money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I feel like the anti-Tannehill argument. And again, we talk about this. Fantasy football is an emotional game. And Tannehill, as a Miami Dolphin, was a disappointment. He underperformed more often than not.
Yep.
Now, was that a
hurt?
Was that a function of the injuries? Was that a function of the franchise around him? He didn't have a lot of personnel. There was coaching changes, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is that Ryan Tannehill's been in the NFL for quite a while, and he's had one half season of being an elite option. And so I think there is, and we look at Tennessee and we're like, well, that's a run first offense, which it is. And we just talked up Derrick Henry, and I both have him as a top 7 player. So the question about Ryan Tannehill is which one's the real guy and can he be as efficient as he was? Because like, he's not a guy that's going to lead the NFL in pass attempts, right? I mean, like, this is, he's going to have to be super efficient because it's still going to be run first. Having said that, we both think A.J. Brown is an elite talent.
Yes, we do.
Right? We like Jonnu Smith as an emerging talent. We'll see what they get out of Corey Davis. But, like, you know, is there a better team to do play action off of or a better running back to do play action off of than Derrick Henry?
There is none.
And so, again, once Ryan Tannehill became the starting quarterback of the Titans last year, he was like a top 5 fantasy quarterback over the second half of the season. Yeah. So, like, I have him at QB 19, you have him at 17. He's being undrafted in many leagues. I want to get him higher. Those question marks are still there, but would not shock me if a year from now we're talking about Ryan Tannehill's a top 12 guy because he is more mobile than you think. It seems to like he's a really good fit for Arthur Smith's offense there in Tennessee, and they have some nice weapons.
You know, baseball's got all these metrics, including a BABIP, batting average of balls in play, that do a good job of quantifying, like, you don't quite want to go as far as saying a guy got lucky, but like, the numbers suggest this will come down a little bit. And so I had Kyle dig into this in weeks 7 through 17, where he was amazing last year.
Yeah.
Right? Ryan Tannehill averaged 31 opportunities per game, which for a quarterback is passing attempts plus rushing attempts. In that 11-week stretch, that was 31 out of 34 qualified quarterbacks. So, like, not that many opportunities. And yet, during that stretch, he was 8th in total quarterback yards, so performing well above the expectations. And we used a stat when we were talking about Lamar Jackson, and like, which suggests that perhaps the touchdown rate will come down a little bit. Lamar Jackson, I believe, was right around 9% in terms of his passing attempts resulting in touchdowns last year. During, again, this isolated 11-week stretch, Ryan Tannehill was 8.1%. That was number 2 behind only Lamar Jackson. Just for some context, Patrick Mahomes, an elite player, right? As good of a chance of anybody to throw for 50 touchdowns in a season, has a career rate of 6.9%. So there are certain ways that we saw Ryan Tannehill exceed expectations last year. And while we love the player, love what he did last year, I am inspired by his determination. I think it's reasonable to expect that he ends up as being somewhere between quarterback, 14 to 20, then quarterback 5 to 10. That's it.
Yeah. Daniel, Field just said a bunch of words, and yeah. I think what I took from that, make sure that we're reading this rightly, is that I think he said that he thought Ryan Tannehill was better than Patrick Mahomes last year.
I did hear.
That's what I think he said last right there.
Yes.
So that whole thing is that
this. Yeah.
If you could, just the one part where he said Ryan Tannehill was statistically better than Patrick Mahomes last year, that was the part that Field said. Yeah. I think it's interesting. So,
Not contractually better,
but he thought that Tannehill was better than Mahomes.
Yeah.
And listen, ESPN rewards people that give those hot takes. So you're well on your way. That is nice.
Got that one. So just have that one available for you around noon. That
Tannehill over Mahomes for Field Yates.
Let's talk about
he's at Field Yates if you would like to argue with him about that particular take. He's at Field Yates on Twitter. He loves to engage with his fans. So go ahead and let him know just, your opinions on Field's opinion that Ryan Tannehill is better than Patrick Mahomes.
Let's talk about A.J. Brown.
Yes, sir.
Because he's wide receiver.
For the record, I am Mahomes over Tannehill.
Got it. Okay.
Just that's a place where we differ.
Got it. Okay.
We agree on a lot of players.
Right.
But I have Mahomes over Tannehill in this particular case.
He gets the last laugh.
Yes, we will.
Later on in life.
Yes, we will.
A.J. Brown was wide receiver 30 last year on a points per game basis. But you can throw that out because, as we know, in the second half of last season, A.J. Brown was incredible. Weeks 7 through 17, when Ryan Tannehill was the starter, he was wide receiver 7 in terms of total points. We've got him at 16 for you, 19 for me, Daniel at 16. And I'm starting to wonder if not only am I too low on A.J. Brown, but all of us are too low on A.J. Brown. And I get it, Matthew. There are all kinds of star receivers are ahead of him. I mean, I'm talking stars. Like, not just the Michael Thomas's, Julio Jones of the world, but like Odell Beckham's and Adam Thielen's and players that have had wide receiver 1 type fantasy seasons before, right? But A.J. Brown, one of those players that might just shoot to the moon. I mean, how many targets does he need to see to surpass even our already optimistic expectations?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? We expect an increase in target share for him because A.J. Brown was incredibly efficient last year.
Yep.
I mean, like, I feel like A.J. Brown, like a typical A.J. Brown game was like 4 receptions for 100 yards and a touchdown.
Right. Yeah.
Like he would catch one ball and run like 70 yards for a touchdown. And so he didn't, they were run heavy. And you talk about the fact that Tannehill was 31st in quarterback opportunities last year. And so it's not a team that throws a lot. When they were throwing, they would throw to A.J. Brown. But so given that every team that has Tennessee on their roster on their schedule this year, is like, okay, how do we stop A.J. Brown? Like, so he's going to get a lot more defensive attention than he did last year. They're working on that. Having said, so he's not going to be as efficient this year, but maybe he doesn't need to be because, again, Corey Davis is banged up. You've got Jonnu Smith, who's a nice young player, but unproven at the tight end position, and there's no one really else. So you've got a very narrow target tree in Tennessee in terms of who could take balls away from A.J. Brown when they're throwing. Right. And so, yeah, I mean, I have him at 16. That's where his ADP is. It's tough for me to get him higher, but yes, top 5 wide receivers absolutely within the range of outcomes for A.J. Brown because I will tell you, and you go back and look at the tape or look at some of my tweets on this, okay? A.J. Brown was my favorite wide receiver coming out of college last year. And in fact, I actually made a whole big, like, A.J. Brown was my favorite wide receiver, and now he goes to Tennessee with Marcus Mariota, where they're going to be run heavy, and I don't think Marcus can play, and blah, blah, blah. So I basically had written off A.J. Brown because of his landing spot. And he didn't do anything until Ryan Tannehill took over.
So I'm trying to think who it was last year. And I think, I'm so bad at it.
But I'm in on the talent, is my point.
Right, and I think last year, the two outliers in terms of touchdowns scored amongst rookie wide receivers were A.J. Brown and Darius Slayton. But there are a lot of warning signs that, like, Darius Slayton's likely to level off because the volume probably won't go up that much, if at all, this year. It might go down for Darius Slayton, who already had low volume. A.J. Brown is not going to have 84 targets again this year. He might double that this season. Maybe not double it, Matthew, but my point is, like, 130 targets should be part of the Titans' plans this year. And along those lines, even if A.J. Brown scores 60% of the touchdowns he scored last year, he could still easily finish as a top 20 wide receiver because the volume and the yardage should be there. And as you said, he's just an explosive fun, talented player. So we're in on A.J. Brown.
What's the argument against A.J. Brown? So we both like, I'm at 16, you have a 19, so we both have him as wide receiver too.
Yeah,
but we're both saying, like, could we get him higher? Because we both agree, like, a massively talented player who's the clear-cut number one wide receiver on his team.
Yeah, here's the argument against, is that the volume doesn't go up a ton because of two things. One, the Titans continue to smother teams with the run. Two, Corey Davis sort of has a light switch moment. And three, Adam Humphries, who was the biggest investment they made in a wide receiver last offseason, and other than Corey Davis, the biggest one they made in quite some time, $9.5 million per year, was a non-factor. If Adam Humphries sees 100 targets this year and Corey Davis gets 70 and, you know, the team runs the football exceedingly well, then the volume doesn't spike to 130. It stays at like 110. That's the argument against. And just, again, really good wide receiver depth this year. Like, if you're choosing between Odell and A.J. Brown, like, even with what happened last year, who cares? Like, there's an awesome case for Odell Beckham Jr. in basically any wide receiver argument. He's Odell.
Right.
All right, any more wide receivers or pass catchers in Tennessee that really...
Well, I've mentioned Jonnu Smith. I mentioned him a couple of times. But yes, we agree on A.J. Brown. Like, again, you know, I think he's a stud.
Matthew, did Jonnu Smith, was he and others receiving votes on your love-hate column that just went live before the podcast started?
Oh, it's up.
Should not be up. It's up tomorrow, I assume, right?
Oh, I believe that is up today. Keith Lipscomb let me know that if you want to do it, it's going to be published before the show started today. Yeah.
Really?
We're up.
Normally it goes on Thursdays. I thought it was going up.
We're up.
Oh, you're right. It got posted today.
We're up a day early.
Are you sure that it's Thursday?
So check out Jonnu Smith and the others receiving votes category. You have 30 seconds, Matthew, because we got to get some social questions. What do you like about him?
No, listen, he's got 11 career games with three or more catches in those games. He's averaged double-digit fantasy points per game. Would have been 10.9, would have been tight end 7 last year. Look, no Delanie Walker there. And again, like, Corey Davis has yet to do anything in an NFL career. Like, maybe he has a Devontae Parker kind of light switch on moment this year, but we just haven't seen it yet. To your point, Adam Humphries has been a non-factor. I think Jonnu Smith is a talented young player who's been waiting for his moment. Now it comes. You see right there, by the way, you see three seasons pre-breakout. Corey Davis and Devontae Parker were both brutal, if you're watching at home. We have a full screen up that shows you Corey Davis versus Devontae Parker before Devontae's breakout there. But anyway, look, Jonnu Smith is a talented young player. Tannehill seems to like the tight end over the course of his career as well. He's due for a significant increase in target share, obviously, from last year. You think about all the years in Tennessee where Delanie Walker was a fantasy, you know, his top 10 fantasy tight end. I have Jonnu Smith as tight end 17, higher than you or Secret Squirrel.
So, ready?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm social, in on Jonnu Smith.
Couple social questions for today. We're going to start with Carlo P.
Is one of the social questions about my beard? Because I'm just looking at myself on camera.
Matthew, you don't and have I feel a like, beard. It can't
no,
be
I mean,
a question
I definitely
your beard
have scruff.
When you don't have one.
I have scruff, and I don't think it looks good. I did
one
it for
of the
Haley.
Questions about my Maserati.
Just to prove.
Wait, I don't have a Maserati, so it can't be about my Maserati.
Wow. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I think it's excellent scruff, man.
You know what? Thank you. That's all I ask, Field Yates. It's a little bit of love. What do you got? What are these social questions? What do the people want to know?
Carlo P. wants to know, what are your thoughts on going with Team QB as a position this season, given the potential for late scratches?
I'm down with it.
Yeah, okay. I think any suggestions you have that build extra protection against COVID-19 protocols, I'm in for your league.
100%.
Okay. All right, this question is going to come from Pastor Jonathan 1, and we're going to bring Stefania in for this one. Is there any reason to downgrade a player who tested positive for COVID this preseason? We've addressed this a couple of times in some of our earlier shows, but we know not everyone listens or watches every show. So, Stefania, just wanted to have you weigh in here real quick.
Yeah, I wouldn't automatically downgrade everyone. It's a reminder, too, that not everybody who goes on the COVID reserve list has tested positive. It could mean just that they've been exposed and they're waiting for their testing. So monitor that individual's reports closely, but I wouldn't automatically downgrade anybody.
Okay. All right. We got one more question. This is from at Steinbecker TS says, do you approve of me taking Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins at the 7-8 turn? Would you do both Ravens running backs?
Yeah, I have no issue with that.
I say, I feel like this goes back to that, you know, team quarterback question. If that's going to help you and that's going to sort of insulate you from COVID issues, I'm okay with it.
If you're basically saying I'm going to get the starting running back of the best rushing offense in the NFL and all it's going to cost me is a 7th and 8th round pick,
right.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram in the back of the seventh is actually pretty good value.
The only reason that I wouldn't is because at the eighth, so you've already drafted the starter. You're probably never going to play J.K. Dobbins, or you're thinking they're both going to be flex plays.
If something happens to Mark Ingram, I'm playing J.K. Dobbins because I think J.K. Dobbins
100%. I'm totally
seven running back.
How many other backups are you drafting in the eighth round to not play unless somebody gets hurt, though, is my question. Is the eighth round too early for that kind of a position?
I don't believe so. I mean, it all depends on sort of your draft and, you know, and where you're playing and how deep your league is. Is it a 10 team? Is it a 12 team? Is it a 14 team, et cetera, et cetera? You know, is it a super flex? You're only playing two running backs. But, you know, the love-hate column that you referenced.
Yes.
J.K. Dobbins is on it.
Nice.
I'm gonna say he is one of my favorite, like, mid to later round guys. I think he has tremendous upside.
Okay.
J.K. Dobbins over Tariq Cohen all every day. Even though Tariq Cohen will play every single week, and there are chances that J.K. Dobbins doesn't play at all. Because J.K. Dobbins, if something happens to Ingram, J.K. Dobbins has a chance to be a league winner this year.
Love it. We're going to send it back to the stat seller for Kyle with our Geico trivia question of the day.
We've got a Gardner Minshew-based trivia question, so we're going to get a little visual of what Gardner Minshew looks like in a best-case scenario when he's traveling around ESPN campus in a minute here. But the question here... Gardner Minshew, 229.2 points last season as a rookie and a sixth round pick or later. That's the second most over the past 15 years by such a player. Who leads the way?
Can I ask one question? It was drafted in the sixth round or later. Are you just saying, does that mean
NFL draft.
Undrafted free agents are excluded from this?
No, they count. Drafted. They count.
Got it. Okay. Undrafted free agents do count in this situation.
Maybe if I could have a picture of Gardner Minshew, I would feel like the thought would just.
It's gotta be like a, like it's an.
There it is.
On there, yeah. Look how hairy your legs are, Field.
Yeah.
Look how ridiculously hairy these legs are.
We got one minute, guys.
There's an undrafted running back that I can't.
Okay, Stefania, first up. Go ahead. Who do you got, Stefania?
Matthew should be able to get this.
This is hard. I can't. I hear sixth round, and I only think of Tom Brady. I don't really have a guess. I don't know. Maybe. I have no idea.
Matthew Berry?
I got nothing for you today.
Okay.
Oh, go to him. I like how.
Fields Yates? We got 30 seconds in the show.
Okay. I am going with Matthew Berry.
Wow. No. What's the. Oh. I know, and
it's a Washington.
Matthew Berry has to get this one
Mike
right.
It's Mike Anderson.
No.
Denver running back Mike Anderson.
Think about your team.
Washington football team.
Washington Matt football Cass. Team?
No idea. Kyle, make these questions easier.
Alfred Morris. Oh.
We got to go. Oh, we're back.
1 point.
On Thursday.
One
we'll
point.
Talk to you later.
Alfred Morris.
Oh. He's out. Ah.
Never going to hustle. In case you didn't know, Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Berry convert you.
Secret Squirrel!